Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A little visual example for us today. Sometimes I think in terms of pictures and things of that nature. And so I thought this would be appropriate for today because in our gospel reading, Jesus has some pretty strong words for the Pharisees. And what he's pointing out is how insidious sin is, that it creeps in. It doesn't come in, you know, like a bang. It comes in very quietly and sneaks in over the long term until it has completely destroyed everything. Think about Adam and Eve when they encounter the serpent in the garden. If he had come in looking like Satan himself, they probably would have ran the other way. But instead, he disguises himself so that he can sneak in there. And in the book of James, it talks about how sin is conceived in desire, and then desire conceives sin that comes out, and then sin, when it's fully grown, brings with it death. It's a long process that takes a while. So Jesus confronts the Pharisees today with their sin. He is pointing it out as plainly as he could point it out, with the hope of repentance, with the hope of them realizing what they're doing is sin and they need to repent of it, in hopes that they will see him and turn to him rather than what they've decided is most important. And Jesus does this through their use of their traditions. They accuse some of his disciples of coming in to eat, and they haven't washed their hands properly. He's not saying that you shouldn't wash your hands before you eat. He's not talking about being hygienic. He's talking about going through the ritual washing of hands the way that they do, and they go through this ritual of washing hands, and then they wash all of the utensils, and they will even wash the couches that they sit upon ritually so that everything is pure and clean before they sit down to eat. And Jesus looks at them as they are so concerned about how his disciples have behaved, and he points out their hypocrisy. Because he says to them, you have set down the word of God and picked up the traditions of man. You've determined that this book, this scriptures that we adhere to, maybe is too heavy. Maybe because you got to have two hands, they've decided to set it down. And they've decided to pick up their traditions. Their traditions are more important. Their way of doing things, their old laws that have been compounded over the centuries, this is the way that you need to operate. This is the way that you need to do things. This is the way that you show your devotion and all of that. You have to go through all of the motions in order to do it right. You have to participate in these specific ways of ritual things in order to be who you are as faithful people. And Jesus says, no, you've got it backwards. You've set down God's word and you cling white-knuckled to your traditions, is sort of the way that the Greek reads, is they're clinging white-knuckled to their traditions. They don't want to let go of them. And Jesus is attempting to sort of pull them out of their hands, but they're not letting go. They won't let go of their traditions. And he says, this is insidious because it's crept in over this time of you compounding all of these laws, trying to keep God's law perfectly. You've added all of these other things. And now you've forgotten what was truly important. You've held on to the wrong thing. You've held on to the traditions rather than the word of God. Now that's the first call that he has for them. Do you see, he says, you've laid this stuff down. Do you see the problem? And they continue. And so he goes even further and he says, you have not only set it down, but you've rejected God's word. You're trying to put it even further away from you. You've taken God's word and you've distanced yourself from it, and you've taken the word that it says and said, well, maybe it doesn't say that after all. Maybe the word is really just a set of moral principles and ethical things that adhere to our traditions. The word of God supports our traditions in all of these great moralistic teachings. And so when the story, by the time Jesus is there, the story of Jonah and the whale, for most of the Pharisees and Sadducees, has become simply a moral tale. They don't even take it as real. Somebody got swallowed by a fish? You can't do that. Fish can't do that. So they've taken it just to mean a listen to the word of the authority and do what they command so that you don't get yourself in trouble. They've taken it to be a moral tale. God's creation in 6 days, once again, is a story of how God created those things. Even in the time of Jesus, they had rejected God's word as his word. And they've clung to their traditions. They've ignored what God's word has said. And they followed their own path. And Jesus is there right in front of them to call them back to following the truth of his word. Now, I'm sure all of us can sit here and think about things going on in the world around us and say, yes, that is happening even today. Yes, it does. It happens even today. But before we look around at the world, we probably ought to look at ourselves. Because it's easy to point out others' sins. It's more difficult to point out our own. How have we set down God's word and picked up our own traditions, our own ways of doing things? How have we rejected God's word and said, well, it may have said that at one time, but we're further along than that. And so we reject God's word and adhere to our own understandings. In Isaiah, it says God's going to take the wisdom of the world and the discernment of the discerning, and he's going to wipe it all out. It's foolishness. And again, before we look around, look here. What are the things that we have ignored, that we have decided is not so important, or decided that we have a much better understanding of than they did back when they wrote it? And we've clung to our traditions. I'll bring up one. Ephesians chapter 5 that we wrote and read today. That first verse, verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands. Oh, that's, we don't do that. Pastor, don't even use that in my wedding. We don't even want that. And when it comes to the vows, take that out of the vows, because that's such an old-fashioned way. We reject that. Or we'll even say, well, we have a better understanding of what that means. And so we're going to use a different word. We're going to take that word out. We're going to substitute something else in. So we do that. It's everywhere. I've encountered it firsthand with people who have decided that they have a better way of reading God's word than God's word does. That they have a better way of understanding God's word than God's word does. And so we reject. That's what Jesus is calling these Pharisees out on, is their rejection. They're thinking that they understand the way things operate better, and so they cling to their traditions. And the hope is for repentance. The hope is for us to say, yeah, we do that. More often than we care to admit, we decide we know better. But he goes one step further. He says, not only have you set it down, not only have you rejected it, but you've made it void. You voided the word of God. You've stamped the big red reject, void, it's no good anymore word. That's what he accuses the Pharisees of. not only just simply ignoring it, but making it outright dangerous. We shouldn't read that. Because if we read that and it tells us that we shouldn't read that, it's dangerous stuff. People can get hurt with this word. We don't want that. So we're going to make it void. God's word is no good anymore to anybody. It's old, it's outdated, it's not in line with our current understanding of anything, and it gets in the way of our traditions. It gets in the way of the way we want to do things. We can't have it. Can't have it around us. And so Jesus confronts the Pharisees and says, "This is what you've done. By acting the way you act and by focusing on what you focus on, you have made void the word of God. You have declared it dangerous. You can't have it." Now, once again, we can look in the world around us and say, yep, we see it all the time, but again, think of what you have done. What compromises have you made to say, well, I'm just going to ignore that part because that part gets in the way of the way I want to live my life. In fact, that way goes against the way I want to live my life, so I'm going to completely reject it. And not only that, I'm going to say, I'm not even going to bother reading it anymore because it's no good to me anymore. Now, we may not have stepped all the way over that boundary, but we have certainly danced along that line of what we've decided the Word of God is good for. We've clung to what makes us feel like we are living our lives the way we want to. Now, Jesus, again, approaches the Pharisees and Sadducees with the hope of repentance, with the hope of looking inside and going, yeah, done that. With the hope of seeing Jesus as who he is, as the Word made flesh standing right in front of them, as the one who can deliver them from that hypocrisy, deliver them from that temptation, deliver them from that evil that they've been doing. Now, some may have. We don't know of every Pharisee's action. Some may have. And the call is here for us today to do the same. But Jesus not only calls us to repentance, he shows us the way. In John chapter 14, he tells Thomas and the other disciples as he's preparing to go to the cross, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. When you have set down the scriptures and decided to follow your own path because it feels better, I am the way, Jesus says, not your way. Scripture's way, I am the way, he says. Follow me. Follow me, and I will tell you the truth, he says, because I am the truth. When you've rejected the word and said all of these other things aren't any good anymore, and you've rejected the stories as they are told, he says, I am the truth. I am the one to lead us into all truth. And then finally, when he says you have decided to follow your own life and that pathway only leads to death and destruction, when you have allowed sin to rule and push you into these different places, he says, I am the life, not the death. I am the life, he says. He says, I am the life. I am the one who brings everlasting life. So the law is heavy here. But what Christ does as the way, the truth, and the life is for us, is to deliver us from the fate of others that have rejected, is to save us. And so once again, we repent of our sin, we hear the word of God and its truth and promise, and say, thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice you made for me. So that even when I do things of hypocrisy in others, there is deliverance, there is salvation, and it's there. in Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.